Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what's the point that was galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds. For whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers. For a rich, delicious experience, whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as 3 suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tetherednation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about.
At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup.
And so it begins.
Smurf blood.
What did I have? Smurf ice cream.
What's this called?
Revenge.
What was it called? Blue. You guys were on the website. What's it called?
Jim's under a blanket. What a bunch of adults we are. We're on a boys' weekend. Nobody's drinking anything.
Deep blue.
Everybody's under a blanket.
Deep blue.
Everybody's Dutch oving each other. Smells like shit. And
I left that bar polluted.
Oh, my God.
Nobody seemed to even notice.
Dude, as soon as
it hit my nostril, I was fucking gone. Dude, I just...
That lady eating the taco salad almost lost her dinner.
We thought you died. You didn't follow us.
Yeah. I saw her dry eating, dude. It was fucked up.
Oh my God.
I figured I could get away with it because there were so many people around. Unfortunately, my friends know me better than that.
I don't understand how something that bad like comes out and it doesn't have like a cloud with it where it's like visible.
Well, it did have a cloud. It just should stuck just be in my like pants.
You would think it'd be something from like Ghostbusters, like a green mist.
It's like wearing a screen.
Death. Oh my God!
If someone was sitting too close to you, dude, they would have lost their eyebrows.
Well, the funny part is that it happened, and I kind of started to smell it. I was like, oh, fuck. This one's going to be bad.
When you don't like your own brand, dude, that's fucking poison.
So it started to get bad, and I realized it was getting real bad. Then finally you smelled it.
Like, as soon as it hit Jeremy's nose, he was gone.
I figured everybody immediately looked at me like it was my fault. It couldn't be somebody else, like the taco salad lady. Ooh, had to be me. And the most innocent looking person around.
Oh my God. Some interesting characters, to say the least. Mm. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Della, I don't know where.
Dude.
Man, I need to add some water to that.
It's pretty strong.
You need more than 16 ounces for a scoop.
It's like tart. It's like eating a Smartie.
The guy said this goes with, like, one of those sticks goes with 16 ounces?
No, he said it goes with a full entire 32-ounce, like, liter bottle.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, that's why. Yeah. I only have 16 ounces.
Well, we're sitting here in our Airbnb from Total Archery Challenge, and we shot today, Saturday, just to give you a quick little rundown. So we came in yesterday, Friday. It seemed like, during the day, when people were here shooting, it was raining pretty good, and we got here last evening. We just hung out here, didn't go anywhere, and then this morning we had a knock time at 9 a.m. Look at Jim right now. Please look at Jim. Look at that freaking blanket.
He's in an ice cream coma.
Yeah. Anyway, we shot at 9 a.m. Ultra View course, and then we shot right immediately RMEF, and we had a good time. So we'll dive into that. But Josh, what'd you think? First tack, man.
Oh, it was an experience. It was definitely a lot of fun. Obviously, the weather played a huge factor in it being just absolute shit. But anytime you can get together with a bunch of guys and not have anything to do, you know, after you're done shooting, it's a ton of fun. Like the first course was challenging. The terrain and being it was so muddy and wet, it was also challenging. So aside from hardly being able to see your pin because of the weather and slipping and sliding and standing in awkward positions made it difficult. Some of those targets were in some just absolutely tricky positions, which made it cool. And the second one, you know, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation one was a good one to end the day with, even though it was only 15 targets, you know, it was a ton of fun because they were all in real life situations and, all they were just great, great shots. It was like a lot of fun. Nothing was super technical, but there were some bombs in there. It was a lot of fun. Good competition. We got beat out.
We'll talk about that. But yeah, well, I mean, because you've done montage. I mean, we started doing that together. We did that 2 years, and we've been very vocal on the podcast about saying how we really enjoyed montage more than tack. And as far as like the actual course setting goes, right? Like the overall experience, it's something different. And we were always vocal about that. But I think, I don't know. I think like montage was a better setup.
I agree.
I did like montage better. Now granted, again, we had unbelievably beautiful weather every time we shot it.
Right.
I would definitely do this again because it's few and far in between. You can come out and you can actually shoot all these different courses in one location.
Yeah.
But I think overall montage kind of had a better situation. The shots were technical, fun,
creative.
It was a close second, but I think just think that being a smaller venue, not having to wait in line, you know what I mean?
Right.
The first course we shot was great. You know, we kind of cruised through even though the weather was terrible, but we didn't really have any hiccups or slowdowns. And the second one, you know, we got bottlenecked up there for
and that
probably
wasn't
45
bad.
Minutes.
And that wasn't bad compared to like what some other courses can be and everything.
Yeah.
Like
and
that.
What you guys were saying, you know, some of those, you have to wait an hour to shoot, which, you know, it just takes a little bit of fun out of it, but I didn't want to skip ahead and miss some targets, you know, because you're out here to shoot. So we have nothing but time, but it was overall, I thought it was a great experience. I think the weather just really played a huge factor in just being like, just more difficult than it could have, should have been. Not to mention I fell down a mountain. It slowed me down a little bit.
Breaking news, earthquake happened in Seven Springs. Oh man, dude, I'm still, I know you said you're a little sore now, but like bam, got right back up.
Yeah, I'm just glad you got up.
That was bad.
It was just, I mean, you hear the term muddy and you see the pictures and like people standing in it. But when you're actually walking in it, like I'm sore and we barely, like, I wouldn't say like we had a crazy, it wasn't like the terrain wouldn't have been bad if it was nice out, like at all. I don't think I would be sore, but like I'm sore because of you're taking your time, walking sideways, trying to slide down, trying to climb up the little hills. And I mean, it was kind of a,
you don't realize how difficult those little terrain features are until you get a little bit of mud.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Swolebird? I mean, it's been a couple years that you've even been here, let alone, shoot, obviously.
It was a good idea that we took a couple years off of TAC because it was getting too like redundant. Like everything, even the way the courses were set up and the village and everything, it's still the same. It's just larger now than it was. So I think it was good that we took a few years off, and montage is still better. Like just like Josh said, it was exactly right. Way more creative. The shots were just as technical, if not some were more technical. Like here, like when we did UltraView, I thought the shots were really technical, and it was interesting how they set up like the cones. Like for, you know, you kind of had to, look past like some brush or shoot between some trees and stuff, and like, but it's not really. It was technical, but it wasn't like. Like we could have set those targets up, you know. Right. I mean, where guys like the ones on montage, I felt like he was thinking outside the box almost on every target, you know. And like every target, every cone we got to at montage, and you're looking for the target, it was almost like, whoa, that's cool, type of thing.
Right.
And I only got that on like a few targets here.
Right.
And you know, I'm not trying to knock them; they do a great job here. I mean, this is still a wonderful event.
And again, we only shot those two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like some people will say, oh, shoot the prime core, shoot the sick core.
And most of the people here don't have anything else to compare it to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we do. So, But yeah, I mean, I would still do it again. I'd do this again every year just because it's fun to get together and shoot, like, you know, really expensive, high quality targets in a neat location. I mean,
right. And it's a matter of like what you want to make out of it. Like we were saying earlier, we're done eating and we're like, oh man, if we would have shot the knock on course, like we would just be getting off probably. Because what'd you say? You saw somebody post today that it lasted.
Yeah, the guys from, the guy from Titanium Archery Products, he posted that it took him 5 hours of dude knock on course.
And when we shot in the afternoon, we thought like, oh, that won't be too bad. And ended up like it took us that last time to shoot like that long.
For a second course, it would have definitely been too much. If that was our only one for the day, then fine.
Yeah. And I think too, Saturday, it's usually busier. I mean, at this point in time, I think every day is as busy as each day. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any let off. That's why this one is 4 days. But yeah, I, you know what I mean? I just think, I don't know. I think montage does get, you know, it doesn't have that, lure of Total Archery Challenge, like you said, Vendor Village and all that stuff. But man, I like you said, you walk up to one like cool shot and you're like, okay, that one was like really cool. That one was okay at montage. And the next thing you know, you're like, you're coming to that gator down there on that little like rock thing. And it's in the middle of the water. And like that, I don't know, like that gives you the, wow, this is sick.
If you're like kind of in the industry or trying to get into it, this is a great event because you come and mingle and like actually talk to these people that you see on social media and face to face and like actually see and touch some of the products and maybe pick up a few items. But like if you're like just coming here to shoot, and the Vendor Village could be overwhelming. A lot of the shit in there is still really expensive. You might not even be aware of all the different brands that that are there or what they offer and whatnot. And it's just not like if you're just coming in this is just a shoot and you've never done this before, I would tag along with somebody else that has done it before.
Yeah.
To get a better experience, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Tim? What'd you think?
I agree with everything that I think has been said, but
yeah.
Jim's going to love this, but logistically.
Logistically speaking.
I didn't like what it took to get to UltraView. Like, we had a 9 o'clock knock time, and we were on the lift at 20 to 9 and got up to the top of the lift, and then you had to take the shuttle.
Yeah, with Marty the meth lab.
And, you know, we were shooting by whatever it was, 20 after 9 or 9:30 or 9:40. I forget what time we actually started. 9:40. Yeah. So, you know, we were 40 minutes beyond our knock time.
Yeah, we go up, take the lift up, and then we had to go all the way down. Like, now that, granted, there was a tree down. We didn't know that. And, you know, Martin and Mesk. I'm going, you're going to UltraView. No, I'm not. I can do whatever I want. That too. Yeah.
We could, like, the commute got longer on the bus ride because of the tree. But still, I don't know. From that perspective, and I understand what they have, 8 courses, 10 courses here.
Right.
So they only have, they try and split them up across the mountain, which, that's why I think I liked the Elk Foundation course more, because it gave you more of that feel of being on the mountain.
Yeah.
You had, you know, they were utilizing the ski slopes as open meadow settings. But the UltraView course, like, that reminded me of something that could have just been set up at a local archery range.
That's how I feel.
And even if it was going to be more technical, like, we're looking at standing on by the cone and we're like, why is that target there? It would have been really cool here. Mm-hmm. Like, and it wasn't even in the line of like the next target.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, if like that one, the Ram one, what was that? Like a 50 some yard shot. Like, and we said if it was over in that farther distance behind the tree, it could have been a farther shot.
Yeah, there was that creek that went, that came through, that they didn't utilize anything with the creek at all.
Right.
Like, as far as setting up a target.
And I didn't like the repetitiveness of the distances. Like, like on UltraView, there's 15 targets and 5 of them were between 46 and 48 yards.
Right.
I think there was two times I didn't even have to move the slider.
First three were 57.
So, yeah. I would appreciate more variation, which I think you got more of that on the RMEF. Like, I think the closest one was 30 and the farthest one was 88.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
we sound like we're shitting on it, but we're really not. We're just, we've done this so many times and we've been to so many different events like this that like we can kind of critique
right,
and kind of pick out some of this stuff.
But yeah. See, I didn't see much of a change. Like, we haven't been here in, 3 years?
Right.
So, and I the actual courses and the way, because I think I shot Yeti. We did the knock-on. Mm-hmm. I forget what else Prime. I did in the past. But really didn't see, like...
Something different.
Anything changing, yeah. I would even appreciate, I don't know, you would think going to an event like this, like there might be something that you can't get at like something that's more of a local archery shoot. And I don't know what that means, but, you know, they have the ability, they have the money, like do something a little special.
Right. We could have done what we're doing right now, hanging out, moved around and said like, hey, would you have been mad if you didn't shoot? And I would have been like, no. Like, knowing that, like, what we did, mm-hmm. like, it was just good to be around each other and partake and do our little fun game of, like, who's going to win it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how we do that. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, what you're saying, like, it wasn't... Like, if we would have done this 3 years in a row, I'd been like, this sucks. Yeah. Like, that was really boring.
The nice part is, I think just because this event has so many different courses... But I don't know what the answer would be to, you know, like I talked to a couple people on the bus about registration, and they were in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, at the exact time that the registration opened, you know, I was logged on, ready to rock and roll, and I got this course. You know, you were right then and there, and all we were down to was UltraView. So I'm not sure what they have to do if they split it up into two weekends, like somebody had said. To be able to get one of those other courses. I think it's kind of luck of the draw. You know what I mean? Right. If you want to shoot, you know, 15 targets, like we came out here to shoot and I had a great time, but I'd have loved to have shot 25 targets on both courses.
Right.
Especially Rocky Mountain. I thought that was awesome. If it had been 25 targets, I'd shoot that every year. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what you'd have to do to be able to really guarantee your spot in picking one of the courses you want to shoot.
Right. Because even on top of that, like Tim said, our knock time was 9, and we were where we were supposed to be. We weren't late, right? Like, the process of getting there was late, and we didn't shoot until 9:40, and it wasn't because it was backed up. We weren't waiting for somebody. It was because by the time we got where we were supposed to go, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? So what is the point of that?
Yeah, and there were people behind us that were 8:30 knock time, so they were even deeper.
And we technically just went right on to RMEF, and mm-hmm. which we probably shouldn't have technically, quote unquote, because
it was noon, 12:30, it was noon, something like that.
So we would have had to have technically waited another half hour or whatever. But at the same time, what does it matter? Mm-hmm.
You're one was on the top of the mountain.
Yeah,
it would have taken longer to go down. Wait for him to like let us go back on the and go all the way back up the lift again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I will say, outside of the shooting, just the overall experience, like, where else could you be where there's another 700 people walking right. around with bows and like-minded individuals that enjoy the outdoors, and just the amount of conversations that you have with people that you're standing next to? That to me is like part of the whole experience. Right. Like, if it was just us four on the mountain of just shooting like a local range, like, you wouldn't have that same right. experience.
And I thought it was great. You know, it sounds like we're shitting on it, but we're really not. You know, the quality of the targets, second to none.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
All the targets brand new. You know, the effort people put into setting those things up and carrying those things into the woods is like, you know, it's just awesome. And like Tim said, you know, to be able to be around like huge groups of people that are just all there to have the same fun, the same experience, you know, everybody's having good conversation. You can literally talk to anybody.
Yeah. No one was a dick.
Where else are you going to see a 9-year-old shooting 88 yards?
Yeah. So 95 awesome. Yard pin the kid had. Shooting a lift X.
Yeah. Like, I love when he said that, because Jim was like, what'd you say? You're like, you're going to touch it? He's like, yeah, I got a 95 yard pin, dude.
I just turned to him because I was like, because he was looking at me like waiting to hear if I knew what the yardage was. So I told him what I ranged it at. And I was like, is your slider, are you going to reach that? And he goes, yeah, I got a 95 pin. I'm like, wow. I don't even know if I have a 95 pin.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was so funny. I loved it. He was like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck you mean? I know.
I love it. I was telling him a story. Like, I was like, when I was your age, I had all my arrows were like different sizes, different weights, different fletchings. I was shooting fingers with a compound bow. I was like, I'd be lucky if I could hit something at 30 yards, let alone 95 yards.
What ended up happening? I heard his dad say he lost a bet at a like league or something.
Something along the lines of, I said to him, I said, you know, you shooting a lift X? He's like, yeah, somebody lost a bet and the kid won the bow. So I don't know if he, or won, he won a raffle, but he was shooting a lift X 29 inch. Like,
with an Excel slider and an UltraView, the small UltraView target housing.
Yeah. And a thumb button.
That bow will last him.
Mm-hmm. The kid was what, 11?
Nine.
20
Nine. Shooting 46 pounds. The kid was a stump, man. He was a strong little guy.
9 year old with like a $3,000 setup.
What did he say in the beginning? I said, how you hitting him? He goes, I missed it for a couple of targets, but then I really turned it up, he said.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Yeah. So like, badass.
I mean, the clientele of people, you know what I mean? From kids to women to people shooting older stuff, people shooting super expensive, crazy stuff to people from out west to guys from Brooklyn, New York, who don't even hunt, who just bought bows. Like, you never know who you're going to talk to, and everybody is there just having a blast. And the weather sucked, but everybody was still out there just trudging around. Nobody was bitching about it. Like,
that's what separates Total Archer Challenge from Montage and all the other ones.
Yeah,
is the diversity of the hunters and the people in this.
Right.
But it just shows
Montage is straight up all hunters.
Yeah.
And they're all mainly from Pennsylvania because it's not as well known.
Right.
And, but yeah, this is neat. We talk to people, like you said, from West Virginia to freaking, you know, like you said, middle of Manhattan.
I love seeing so many kids this weekend. Like, I saw
there's a lot of kids.
There was a lot of kids. That was so cool.
And the weather doesn't hold anybody down. You know what I mean? Like,
people were in a muddy mess.
Yeah. Like, there was just. Yeah. I can't believe some of the older clientele was like, I said, I couldn't believe they were even keeping pace with us.
I know. Because the group behind us, Tim, I mean, on UltraView, we were like, shit, like those guys are going to struggle. Like, we might be able to take our time a little bit. And then we're like, we're going to have to just keep pace with what we're doing. Because they caught up to us. Like, kudos to those guys, man. So leading up to this, I did not shoot as much as I've...
Lies.
Nice, dude. I'm being honest.
Oh my god!
Guy shot 14-12 rings in a row.
Yep.
But no, I honest to God, I really haven't shot much. I called Jim the other day and I was like, dude, I might be bringing the era. Like, I didn't feel good like with that one. Got a little tweaked and I was like, I think I'm good now. But
we shot up at camp, and it wasn't your best day. And you were a mental patient. You went and got a different site set up. And you were like freaking out. You're like, fucking, I don't know. I'm going to put this, go back to my old spot hog and whatever.
Because I haven't even shot the ASA events.
Right.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
First one I with the rain delay and with the party. And then this past one that I was supposed to go to, with family, I just said, screw it. I'm going to just bite the bullet, like I mentioned. And I'm unfortunately, I'm not going to do them the one next weekend either, but just a lot. I mean, obviously this is the one I really wanted to be with because of you guys. And I mentioned to you last week, like if one of you were doing those with me, even though if we weren't paired up together within that group, cause they do them randomly, just knowing that one of you were, it would be there. Like, I don't know. I know I did it last year when none of you were there, but it's just like right now, like with what I have going on and family and getting things done around the house, like finally last year that was like on the back burner with the baby and everything like that. And so I don't know. So I'm not doing it. So I haven't been shooting as much. So, and then, like I said, I got the Boonie site put on. I was like, screw it. And I thought like I got a good sight tape on it. I went and shot, changed a couple other little things, and I settled on it. And I was like, okay, it's as best as we're going to get. So, like leading up to it at this point, I like 100% did not shoot I haven't been shooting as much as I was last year at this point in time. So I was kind of,
I was worried you weren't going to have it set up in time the right way.
I was,
your bow was pretty much set up. You just had to finalize the sight tape and you were done. And then you went and ripped the sight off and put a sight on it. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, between that and like between the years, I was kind of worried like, oh man, I fought so hard to be good. And like, if I do bad on like 2-3 targets, it's going to be, I'll be a royal mess, like back to zero again. I was kind of a little bit worried, honestly. Then I was like, no, just have fun. That's why I kept saying like, just have fun, just have fun, just have fun. And then, you know, It was fun, but with
I think you won how many targets in a row? 4, 5
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was tested in the beginning. Yeah. Like he was shooting well, and we were inching him out by like
we got half through like diameter. We got through like 5 targets, and he was like, "I just want to freaking win one." Yeah. You know, like, and then after that, it was like, put his hat backwards, and he's like, hey, "Fuck these guys," you know. It's like a switch.
Yeah, to preface how he keeps scores, whoever is closest to the 12 rank wins the target.
Yeah,
we don't keep individual ASA score type.
Yeah.
And everybody started off. Everybody started off strong, and then Jeremy just kind of pulled through. And even guys would shoot good, and he'd still just dial it in there,
edging them out all every time.
Yeah, that the one. On Rocky Mountain, that one where just like I released it and I just like I watched the arrow like just going. I knew where it was going to go before it hit, and I just started walking away. It was like the fadeaway walk off.
You're
shot.
Like Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I just knew on that one. Oh fucking what! That one was like the dead center pinwheel, the big Rocky Mountain. No, so it was a good day shooting, and then the second course, we had the idea of coming up with like. Whoever goes first, who finishes first and last, will be together for the Rocky Mountain Elk Federation 1 and then 2 and 3. So Tim finished last. So Tim and I were partners, and then Jim and Josh were partners on that one, and came off ripping right off the go. But that one was what, 1-1, then
it went to like 4-1.
4-1, 5-3.
Yeah.
You guys were busting my chops.
We hit a couple in a row to be within one or two.
Yeah. I would still say one of my favorite shots on the day was Tim on that downhill 58, like perfect 12 ring on that.
Yeah, he edged me out.
Yeah.
That's the one. So that's the first target that I missed.
Found a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. Josh and I are like, now to put it in perspective, that was the 1/3 size elk.
Yeah.
So right. the 10 ring is like, I don't know, size of a softball maybe.
Yeah.
It'd be a Josher in there, and I'm like, there's no way, you know? And Tim just, like, walks up there and split him. Yeah. And, like, just, I mean, you couldn't even stick it in the target any better to center.
Yeah. No, I was...
I had to help Jeremy out somewhere.
I know.
He's carrying my ass all day.
Dude, I was impressed because overall, we'd all shot really well. Like, overall, in the grand scheme of things, we all shot very well.
I agree. I mean, there weren't many misses throughout the day.
No,
the misses we had, nobody
were
was
dumb.
Like, nobody was shooting them in the ass or the spine or the, you know, anything crazy. No. You know, I mean, there was like everything was in.
I think we had amongst what 30 targets, we might have had
4 misses, maybe
between that. But then, like what you were just saying, like 2 targets where we were kind of like all over the map. Oh,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
2 of the misses were like misjudged yardage because of the brush that was 10 yards. Shorter.
Yeah,
well,
I shouldn't. That's the last time I listened to Jim. 47.
I freaking
47 yards.
I rangefind it, and it's hitting the way that tack does a lot of targets is like
there's shit in front of it.
They'll put brush in front of the target so that way you kind of have to like visualize shooting through that and then let the arrow arc over it. So I'm trying to hit it with my rangefinder. I hit it a couple different times, and I got the same one, and I'm like, I got 47, and like I don't know how big that target really is in real life, so like it looks kind of look close and end up being what 57.
Well, because it was a javelina,
or yeah,
so it's a smaller target. Sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was the last target. It was 50. That was the last target on Ultraview.
I settle in and I let it go, and it hits stupid low, and I'm like, my bow hasn't hit low all day long, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was just my fucking blip. And then Tim went and did the same thing, and then we were like, wait a minute, this can't be right.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you first target, it never fails with you on your first target.
Every time, there's always some
sort of. It's like you have the yips on that first one.
He's always too excited.
I'm like that with golf. I'm like that with baseball, anything. Like my first at bat, my first time on the tee box, first everything. I'm like so wound up. I get up there and I'm just like.
What was it like when the first time you lost your virginity? Your brother?
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's not, yeah. Just get that out of the way. And then, like, after that, I'm, like, I'm not even ramped up anymore. I'm just like, all right, it's over.
Because when we,
I quit archery. I'm selling my bow.
Outdoor insiders were
stuck it in the fucking wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boom. Did you really?
Yeah. Right in the
first time out of the gate, I stuck it in the wall, and then I was on fire. Like,
yeah, he fucking smoked
it. The whole back wall is 3/4-inch plywood.
Mm-hmm.
First arrow, boom, right in the plywood.
Yeah.
He goes, what happened? I'm like, I don't know, you missed.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's good.
The other cool thing about this place, you know, the terrain and the you get to test your gear.
Yeah.
And we kind of everybody always bust balls about, you know, everybody's wearing like high end Sika, Kuyu,
First, you know, Light,
First Light, all those other Four Low,
Four Low.
But this is where you really get to test it. You know, when it's pouring down rain and you're not used to shooting in the rain, holding on to your bow in the rain, shooting in the into dark places where you got to turn your light on.
It was tough.
Testing your boots, like, you know, testing gaiters, testing pants.
Gaiters,
it's,
man.
It's those things that it's like you get to test these things where you're not in the elements of the actual hunt and see what works and what doesn't. My feet stayed completely dry. Wearing gaiters was like an absolute great idea. Aside from like falling and just getting rained on, like I was relatively dry.
Yeah.
You know, we bought some gear from Go Hunt. That was also like an absolute game changer.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't come super prepared for it to be 50 degrees, windy as hell, and pouring down rain.
It made it tough though. Like there was water in your peep.
Oh yeah.
I was racking the bow in the first four or five targets with the grip because your hand was cold as hell.
Yeah.
Wet.
Yeah.
The bow grip was wet. And then the wind is, your bow's like a sail at full draw where it's just pushing you around.
Right.
It wasn't easy.
I mean, let's be honest. Who practices shooting their bow in the pouring rain? No one.
I don't even hunt in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, that's what I mean. So you throw all the conditions in, plus then like the elevations, like the angles, like there's not a lot of opportunities for people to practice that. So you throw in all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, for some, it was probably a rough fucking day.
And I struggled with just the footing. Some of those areas around the cone, they were beaten down so bad.
Just sliding.
Yeah.
You're literally just sliding. You threw that one log down. You're like, here,
step on that
so you're not sliding.
And I don't even like to get my bow wet. Like, if it's drizzling, I'm not practicing in the rain. Yeah. And then when it comes to here, it's like being on a hunting trip. Like, you have to shoot. And it's like, okay, we're going to make things work. And you don't realize how difficult it is holding your release. An aluminum release in between your fingers, that thing's sliding all around. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? These are the things you don't really think about until the time comes. And it's good to get all those things out of the way if you're going to go on a serious trip. You know, it makes you think that, like, maybe I should practice shooting in the rain once in a while, as terrible as that sounds.
Yeah.
But, like, you never know what you're going to run into when you go out on a trip somewhere.
Yeah. Again, I just want to, like, it was definitely fun. There's just things that, you know, obviously could make it even better than what it is. It's just a matter of the manpower and everything like that. But I thought, again, we shot very well, all four of us, and what a blast it was to get back and do something like that.
The TAC people they're always very organized. Yeah. They like Josh said, they bust their ass to get all that stuff up there and set up, especially in these kind of conditions. I can only imagine how miserable that was.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I do give them a lot of credit for is, like, one thing that lacked a little bit the first year with the montage was kind of finding the way. The ribbon trail wasn't, we got lucky that we stayed on course. There was ribbons, like there was Stevie Wonder could have followed the trail.
Yeah.
Yep. They did an exceptional job. Obviously they had an incident in the past that made things probably a little bit more, they dialed things in a little bit more so that way they keep things a little bit safer. You know, obviously there's been tens of thousands of shooters have gone through TAC over the last how many years, and they've never had an issue. So, but whether that played into effect, but the ribbon trails and everything seemed to be so easy to follow that you knew you weren't getting off course. You didn't miss a target.
I will say, I felt like, again, we haven't been here.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked it a couple years ago, so you're just at the booth, so mm-hmm. you're not really seeing things. But being a participant again within the last 3 or 4 years, it felt a lot smoother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I mean, other than the registration process, mm-hmm. like the actual of being here, mm-hmm. like Tim said, like we were just saying, like, hey, they have water on every course. So we brought that up. I don't know, was it on the podcast or something? I can't remember. I know we said it amongst ourselves, and then the Ultra View and RMEF one had no water. So, like, I don't know if that was because of,
like, shorter.
Shorter, you know, 15 targets only, which I would bet money on. But But again, I'm not knocking that. Like,
mm-hmm. I don't think you can knock anything just based on the conditions. Like,
yeah,
it was probably tough for them to get around.
Yeah, anything. I thought everything ran smooth.
Even the bus drivers, like we were ripping on them for driving like maniacs, but like they're trying to get hundreds if not thousands of guys essentially in the few days up and down trying to meet these time constraints and then getting around like log jams and all kinds of other shit going on. So, I mean, everybody.
Let's do PA twice. I mean, Michigan has now.
Three. Michigan right. has three.
So, like,
PA is the biggest one, which is why it has the biggest vendor village. It has the most amount of shooters. All the big influencers show up here now. So, like, why wouldn't you just split it and do two?
Yeah. Let's do it at Montage.
Go to the Northeast, yeah.
Do it here.
You'd attract so many people from New York. And oh like God. And New England states.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think depending on how close together you could do them, you could probably draw in the same clientele that would literally spend a week's vacation, you know, splitting it into 2 weekends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even if you do it, you know, one this time of year and one at the end of the summer, I think you would gain a lot more clientele. People that missed, you know, obviously it's territorial. People that couldn't make the Pennsylvania one may be able to make one at the end of the summer. And right. I think with the number of people at Montage and that facility in itself is the lodge may not be as big and nice, but man, you could have a hell of a really nice show there too.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. Cause we said like, this is a 4-day show. Make both of them 3 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're an idiot, man. Jim's over here
sucking on his deep blue.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought the vendor village was pretty badass.
Yeah.
Everybody was super nice. Again, like weather permitting, everybody was literally standing in a pig pen. And
pretty much.
Everybody
that was the muddiest part of
it. Everybody was super nice. Like it was good to like just network with people and talk to people, even, you know, guys from companies that I'd never even really dealt with. Black Flag.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time talking
Jordan
to
was
us.
Awesome.
Yeah. What I really love is that like nobody ever in all the years doing it at any of the tents, there are somebody trying to just force you to buy shit. No one, right. they're just cool. They just want to talk to you. They'll tell you about stuff if you want to ask questions, or they'll just, you know, educate you on whatever the product is. But like, no one's like, oh, come here, you know, buy two, get one. You know, no one's trying to like sell you shit.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that because this is like basically most of the big brands in our sport are here.
Right.
And you can put your hands on some of this stuff and you don't want to feel pressured into stuff.
I like that there was some of the, like the smaller companies, cutters, stabilizers, you know, stand there and the guy's talking to us about the technology that goes into their newest stuff and their quivers. And there's two guys in the shop that literally make mm-hmm. everything.
And one of them was at this event.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, usually me and one of the other guys, one of us is making the stabilizers. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to become like a bigger, more reputable company selling them in businesses like Shields. And just cool that like, they're willing to go over the stuff with you again, not forcing things down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
All the other companies that were there, Marsupial Gear and Kuyu and all these companies that are just like top of the line, but they still just have the time to talk to you.
Yeah. That's fun, man. I'm pumped. We did it. I am. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that we did it.
They always raise good money for the charities that they are raising for, like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and various others. So it's a good event.
Yeah. And we got to figure out.
The party, I will say this too, and I'm not shitting, but that party wasn't like it was three, four years ago.
Yeah.
The last one, when Black Rifle used to run that party, it was a little bit more hopping, I guess you would say. Not much more, but like it was a little bit more uppity. Yeah. They were playing, like they had live music, remember?
Yeah.
And it just was more of like a party. That this was just like I felt like I was at a bingo or something. Like with
it was a charity fundraiser. Yeah, RMEF. Yeah, that's what it felt like this time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, RMEF, which the folks down there, RMEF might stand for something else. Yeah, really mutated,
enhanced
folks. But but yeah, overall solid.
Yeah,
8.5 out of 10.
Ooh.
Very 8.5 out of 10. Nice. I go Montage 9 out of 10. I haven't had a 10 out of 10 yet, but we'll see.
Definitely wasn't our Camp Freedom one.
So Camp Freedom? Well, yeah, let's go back to that.
I'll let you know how that one is. That's coming up at the end of the month.
The one that outfit folded now, I believe, right?
The one do that with it. Montana, you want to do it? Mountain Fest.
I think Jesse might be wanting to go to that too.
It was called Mountain Archery Fest.
Mountain Archery Fest, yeah.
And so they still have that earlier in this summer.
No, they're done.
So there was an archery festival at Camp Freedom three weeks ago. It's called Mountain Archery Fest. I think it might have been a different owner.
Must have been.
Maybe
yeah,
he sold it.
He likes.
Who was that bald dude that we saw shooting at another tech event?
I forget his name.
Yeah. Anyway, he was a nice guy and all, but. That whole event, I'll tell you what, they advertised it way more than TAC does. They were like, remember all the videos, and they're making it seem like it's, you know, and it looked really badass. Like, that's why we were excited. We were like, another basically TAC is coming, and we get there, and I'll never forget, like, the practice range was like 5 bag targets set at various ranges
as you're driving in.
Yeah.
You're like parking.
You're literally driving
behind the targets.
Yeah, you're driving in, and like you're like, here's a target.
This is at camp.
And here's the targets, and then you're coming in this way. So like, if anybody like got yippy, you'd send one into somebody's freaking.
Oh my god, dude, it's so bad.
And we were like, wait a minute, is that the practice? We just thought somebody set targets up like from where they were parking, just for the fuck of it. That's what literally what it looked like. And then like the novelty shots was like they had tennis balls. Hanging from string at like 20 yards or 30 yards or something, and you had to hit the tennis ball, and like you got your name, like you got a ticket, and you could put in the different drawings. It was
Well, the course and the idea was like cool originally. Mm-hmm. Like, what course we signed up for, it was the world record one. So,
but like, you paid TAC prices, and he talked it up like it was going to be that. And like, I know every company and something they have to start somewhere, but like. That you don't, I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
I felt like I got sold. I don't know. I feel like I got gypped.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so that was it. So Tim and I brought home the trophy, and I won that first one. Just had to say that one more time.
Yeah.
What was your favorite targets?
All the ones I twirled.
Pretty much.
He does a draw, 1, 2, 1, 2, go. I was saying it, and I was whispering the cadence to Tim as you were doing it. Like, I've watched him a few times now. He does the same thing every time, which is great, because you do the same thing every time. So as long as you repeat it, it doesn't really matter. You could do backflips and fucking shoot, and it's fine.
Yeah. I told you, the more I think, the more I'm holding and have to think, the worse it's like squirrel's cage. Don't rattle don't rattle the cage.
Sure.
I don't know. I really didn't. Nothing really jumped out of me.
I like the one that elk down at the wallow in the rocks with the creek coming through. Yeah. That one was cool.
That one was cool.
Like scenery wise, that one was cool.
Yeah, that was probably like the top one. Now I know that you mentioned that you said that was yours, Jim. Mm-hmm. What about you, Josh? What was your favorite target?
We talked about this one earlier. I think there was a really cool bear situation, kind of in some open timber up a hill. The head was kind of hidden behind a tree.
Yeah.
It was like might have been 60 yards, maybe high 50s. It gave kind of a real feel. I liked it. It was a tricky one to get up to.
The bear looked like it would be walking like on that bench. And you're below it on the creek bottom, and you just happen to peek up, and he's like cruising. It looked really realistic for PA. Yeah.
I will say the two targets that we shot the worst on, I kind of like the bull and the cow bedded together.
Yeah.
I was actually really excited when we saw that earlier in the course, and I'm like, that's going to be fun.
So a lot of
those, we shot like crap on it.
A lot of those big elk targets at far distances that were out in like...
they were like 82 of
those. They were just really cool because they thought they were like... They were real. Like those are the scenarios you're going to run into out west, you know, in those open prairie areas. Like I really liked that course a lot.
Yeah.
I think just shooting those big elk targets is really awesome.
Because we don't get a chance to shoot those big of targets.
Yeah.
Even shooting the thirds life-size elk targets were cool because they probably weren't at as much distance, like 40 to 60 yards, but they were still 48. Pretty neat. Yeah. Everything was at 48.
But those are targets like back, you know, in Eastern PA where we're from, you know, a lot of the local 3D courses and the little clubs most of them don't have a gigantic elk target.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of deer and smaller animals, things that are budget friendly. So getting to shoot, or they have one, you know, so getting to shoot 15.
Like 10 large.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. The wind was a battle. I thought that was, you know.
For sure.
That tested, you know, a little bit. That one, when we came off that crazy cliff hill, I still can't believe none horrible. Of us fell. Like, you skimmed on your butt, but it wasn't terrible, Tim.
Yeah.
But, like, when we got to that one, Jim,
held for a minute, let down, drew again, held for, like, felt like forever, probably another minute.
Almost panicked.
Almost panicked because it, like, I could feel myself squeezing the trigger, and it literally blew me off the deer. Like, just, I was like, yeah. So it was sketchy, but we made it work.
Yeah. And that was a wild one. No, it was good. So we're going to have to do this again soon. Coming up here, Josh, you're definitely doing the Camp Freedom one because it is the same people that put on Montage back in the day. So it's that same guy. So hopefully that creative outside the box gets put in there.
Dissanity, I think.
Tim is thinking about going. I don't think I can make it because of coming back from the beach.
I will be up in Western New York with the Pert Near Outdoors guys for Arrowfest. So look for me.
That's golf. That's golf on that weekend.
Yeah, that weekend. I'm just saying next week.
Oh, next weekend.
I'm saying next weekend.
Next week.
I will be up there. So look for me on that one. And then
next week, potentially getting out at camp and putting out some cams.
4 weeks from now. It's the 21st of June.
Okay. This always goes fast, unfortunately. But yeah. Here we are Saturday.
Had a blast. Had a blast. We had good food. Tim made some
14-hour pork butt.
Pork butt. Josh brought some awesome chicken dip. We made some venison tacos tonight.
So there's way too much food.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
That's so much food.
We didn't walk
enough. It smells like shit in here.
6 miles wasn't enough walking.
And then we had ice cream to cap it off, which
some
according to Josh's girlfriend that we're in for it with his gut. Tonight with because of ice
cream. I'm sleeping on here.
So I thought it was already bad. I didn't know that this was going to be worse.
Lactose cleared the whole bar.
I'm lactose intolerant. I just don't care.
Jesus, that's the problem. Oh, here I thought he was like dying or something. Like,
yeah, well, I will be about 40 minutes from now.
Oh man,
but Jeremy's the only one who had enough mental strength to be like, no. I'm sticking to my diet. I'm not going to eat ice cream.
It would have tore me up, too.
I love my diet, but I'm still going to have some ice cream.
Yeah, dude, this is the weekend to treat yourself.
Nothing beats a little panda.
Dude, I was. What were you saying earlier? Fucking. This guy's drinking cream.
Yeah. Like, we're eating ice cream and, like, drinking beer and, like, whatever. And Jeremy's freaking sucking down creatine, eating protein bars and grapes.
So, there's a banana in his pocket.
Oh, my God.
That's why he's got a bicep vein.
Yeah, it's true.
24/7. All right, man. Dude, I appreciate you guys. And can't wait till we do this at camp again here and try to figure something out.
Why are you always looking at me at the end of this? Tim wants to just me to say wild shit so he can replay it a million times in his car.
We miss you, Tom.
Yeah.
Wish you could have been here, man.
Where you at, Jim?
I missed you, Tom. Wish you could have been here, man.
Oh. Tom's out scouting for world-class bucks in Pennsylvania.
Tom's got a mule deer on camera.
That guy has a fucking wrench on him, I'm telling you. He fucking shoots hammer bucks. I mean...
So that makes him have a big wrench.
I'm telling you, dude. He's a modest guy. You know, he makes a good living. He's got a beautiful family he's created now. Shoots giant bucks. Guy's got a fucking rope. There's no way he doesn't.
This is the year he gets out. This is the year he gets an elk.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
This is it.
100%.
I got it. All right. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. See you next week. Antler up.
Antler up, guys.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode...
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler up.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.